Hi, my name is Quinton Hyde, and welcome to another episode of the Quinton Hyde Podcast. In this episode, we're actually going to be talking about something pretty serious, which is my current state of mental health. And you're probably wondering, why would I care about your current state of mental health? Well, for starters, this episode actually exists, or like this whole podcast exists, so you and I can get to know each other a little bit better. But additionally, you might find it interesting because you yourself might actually be struggling with something, which is why I want to share it, because maybe it'll help you find your peace or like move you over to get therapy or something. Like I mentioned in the previous episode, I actually recently enrolled into therapy, which is something I've done a lot as a kid. But I think it's important to talk about like the whole current state. I believe at some episode I've talked about what I did as like or what I was like as a kid. It's probably important for you to know in case you don't know this. I have autism. As a kid, I had like OCD, like neurotism, all that. I had little voices in my head that would speak evil little things to me, and this is not even an exaggeration. It was rather unpleasant. But I overcame pretty much all of that to its entirety. But then recently, something happened to me a year ago that was traumatic to an extent that it actually unleashed a whole bunch of new stuff that made me want to get therapy, and I took that step. So if you've been watching this podcast for a longer amount of time, you remember that there's some episodes in which I talk about a subject that I wanted to talk about, but was always too afraid to bring up because it would hurt me to talk about it. It's not necessarily this yet, but it's because of the thing that that I am the way I am currently. Basically, a year ago, or a little over a year ago, I was still in a relationship. You didn't know this, despite you maybe watching me on everything, because I was asked to keep the entire thing private and secret. You'll hear more about that in the next episode, because the episode that I've been teasing about, not really wanting to talk about because I was too scared, I'm not really scared about it anymore, and next episode I will be talking about it. Obviously, I will keep some things private. Like names, I have no intention of stirring up beef and all that kind of stuff, but I do just want to share the story together with you because maybe it'll help you. But in this episode, I will tell you that that particular thing, the horrible way that that thing ended, is the reason that I'm currently in therapy and I discovered a lot about myself. So basically, let me just tell you a fun little anecdote about how I actually got my therapy beforehand, because oh my God! So it was like, I think the end of November. And in my mind, I was like, you know what? I gotta take the plunge. I gotta get that therapy on. So here in the Netherlands, I don't know what it's like wherever you live, but here in the Netherlands, in order to get therapy, the first thing you need to do is call your, I wanna say in English, it's called a GP, GE. It's like the doctor that you get, like the doctor that you go to if you have like the flu or something. It's like your first line doctor. So because we're currently in the pandemic, I wasn't allowed to just randomly go over there and be like, oh, hey, fella, I have this issue. So the first thing I had to do is I called up my doctor. And first you got the doctor's assistant, like the woman who's sitting at the desk at the reception. So she was like, hey, what's up? What can we help you with? And I was like, hey, my name is Quinton. I want to get therapy. And she was like, okay. Why? I was like, do I have to tell you this over the phone? Like, do I have to give you like personal information on that? Or is that like not required? Like, I don't care. I don't mind. But do I need to do that? So she's like, yeah, you do. Please explain to me exactly why you want your therapy. So I say, okay, yeah, that's cool. Don't worry about it. So basically a relationship, terribly hard breakup. Some crazy stuff got out of that. Turns out I still, even like because of stuff that happened to me in the past, have a fear of abandonment. Very unpleasant, but also a lot of other stuff has come out within me because of this whole thing. And I want to be able to talk about that. I want to be able to spot red flags because my entire family has a history of choosing partners, not in like the way you'd want it to go. I don't want to have that happen again. I want to be able to spot red flags. I want to get over my fear of abandonment, all of that. So she's like, oh, yeah. And she literally said to me, so if I understand correctly, there are certain things about your mental health that are different from the way that you want it to be, and that's why you want therapy. So I'm like silent for a second. I'm like, and I literally tell her like, yeah, I really can't think of any other reason for me to want therapy, right? If everything was all right, I would probably not be applying for that. And she's silent for a second too, and she just laughs and goes, yeah, okay, I guess you're kind of right about that. Which I thought in the end, like it was pretty funny, but at the moment I was like, yeah, duh. So she's like, okay, so is it possible that the doctor calls you tomorrow? And I was like, normally I would probably be, because normally they ask you to come over. I was like, because of the pandemic, I can't come over. So it's by phone now. And she's like, exactly. So I'm like, yeah, sure. Next day, the doctor calls me. He's like, so please do tell me why you want therapy. And I was like, did you not get any notes or like any insight from your assistant? And he's like, yeah, no, nothing. I have absolutely zero reference. So I'm like, okay. And I tell the entire story again, the entire thing. And he's like, oh, whoa, please stop there. You're telling me some highly personal information. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it's a mental health thing. It's a request on therapy. Obviously, it's going to be personal stuff. And he's like, "What? This is way too personal to be talking about over the phone. Please do come over next week." And I'm like, all right. So next week, I come over. It's the same doctor who sees me in real life. We're both wearing face masks at a distance, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, okay, so why do you want therapy? And I'm like, do you remember our phone call? And he goes, yeah, no. And I'm like, dude. So I tell him the whole story again. And he's like, that makes sense. We're going to give you therapy. We're going to refer you, because in the Netherlands, when you get a referral, therapy is free. I don't have to pay for my therapy because I got the referral from my, I want to say it's GP, but like my doctor, basically. So I get that. He's like, yeah, we're definitely going to give you that. I'm so glad. But he's like, in order to know what facility we got to send you to, we have to ask you, we have an internal mental health expert that is going to ask you some questions so we know where to place you. Is it all right if she calls you like 2 days from now? So I'm like, sure, of course. 2 days later, she calls me up. I'm like, hey, what's up? And she's like, so I understand you want therapy. You've already, like, we told you you're going to get a referral. I'm like, yeah. So she's like, can you tell me exactly why you want therapy? Did you hear that? That was pretty cool, right? We have a soundboard now. I felt like that one fit perfectly. Anyway, I was like, did you not get any notes from the doctor? Because I saw him write a lot of notes. And she was like, no, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I don't mind talking about it. But at some point, it's like, hey, I've told this story 4 times already. Can someone pass the notes around, please? So I told her the story. She referred me, etc. And normally in the Netherlands, the waiting period is pretty long, but I had luck because the facility that I wanted had a waiting period of 3 weeks, because the moment I enrolled, they hired new therapists. So like their entire waiting list was like gone. So like the whole wait was like 3 weeks. So that was the best of luck. So I enrolled and we started like this whole thing. And now we're gonna get into the more serious stuff. So the process basically of what they're giving me is something referred to as schema therapy. So I thought that had a translation, because in Dutch, this is referred to as schema therapy, which means schedule therapy, basically, or like section therapy. So I thought this will absolutely have like a translation as such. But apparently my psychology studying friend told me that in English, it is also referred to as schema therapy, which is weird to me. Like, did it originate here? Or is there someone whose last name is Schema who made this whole thing up? Anyway, the whole thing basically states that there is like 12-ish sections that your personal problems, like your personality problems, stuff that is based on like basically the like certain wrong developments that happened to you because of like stuff that happened to you as a kid, blah, 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 can be like determined within 12 sections, if that makes sense. And I had to do this like large ass test to determine where my problems lie. And they determined that my problems lie in these 4 specific sections. And I'm gonna actually share you what these sections are and the severity that they have concluded that I have them. So in order from least to worst, my number 4 issue schema, my issue section is referred to as fear of abandonment. I understood this. The reason that it's 4 and not like number 1 is because I only have a fear of abandonment when it comes to romantic relationships. I have no fear of abandonment when it comes to friends, family, anything. That is because I lack empathy to a certain degree. This is going to sound really bad, but there's not a ginormous amount of people it's not that I don't care about them, it's that I don't have like a huge like emotional connection, but also I do. Basically, I have a lot of people where I'm only connected to the positive emotions, if that makes sense. Because of that, there's people out there that when they get upset with me, I don't care, because they're not part of, which is currently 3 or 4-ish people. There's 3 or 4-ish people, if they get upset with me, it actually bothers me. And that's basically like why the fear of abandonment is number 4, but not higher than that. Number three, I have something that they refer to as relentless demands of oneself, meaning that I demand way too much of myself, which is predominantly when it comes to like social media stuff. I spend all of my time on like thinking about social media. Like even if I'm not making social media stuff, I'm thinking about social media stuff or reading about social media or watching videos about social media or content production, all of that. It's the only thing, the only passion I have, and the demands I have for that are considered problematic. Where, I mean, if you've ever seen me in my Discord or my Twitter or my streams, you know that I very often eat my dinner at like 11 p.m. because in my mind, I'm just like, I have to finish these things up beforehand. And this is apparently a problem where they're like, you demand so much of yourself that it becomes a problem to you mentally, but even physically, where you don't do certain things that you should be doing because you have such high demands of yourself. Funnily enough, number two, like the number two most, like worst one, I guess, is lack of self-discipline. I mean, I guess it ties in a little bit, but it basically means that anything that is outside of that, I lack all discipline in. I haven't done, okay, can I say this? I mean, I can, but it's just gross. I haven't done my laundry and my dishes in like a solid 4 months. I just have a lot of clothing and like dishes that I can't keep using, like new ones. I do gotta admit though, I wear my clothing a little bit too long. It's a little gross, but I'm not seeing anyone anyway currently during COVID. So it's like, you know, but I have no discipline when it comes to anything that I don't enjoy. And the only thing I enjoy is like content stuff. So it's like, I would have like a to-do list. And every day I have like a to-do list of like six or seven things. Let's say it's seven things. Six of them are social media related. One of them is I have to take something to a postal office. And this is an actual example. Because every day I finish all of the social media stuff and that postal office thing has been on the list for like a solid 3 weeks now, or maybe even a month. I cannot get myself to do things that are not within my passion, which is a problem, obviously. That's not necessarily a good thing. And the number one, which was actually higher than like a lot of other things, is one that, like, it's a side of me that not a lot of people see, and that is something that was in Dutch referred to as claiming rights upon oneself. This means that basically my self-esteem is too high. You know how a lot of people have, like, the issue where their self-esteem is too low, and they're like, you know, they have, like, an inferiority complex and they feel bad about themselves? I feel too good about myself. And you're probably thinking like, why is this a problem? Like, at what point is feeling good about yourself going to be a problem? Basically, to the extent that I feel like I should be allowed to do things or allowed to obtain things simply because I'm me, if that makes sense. It's like, I have a side to me that is like a little bit more, I want to say egocentrical. It sounds so ugly, but it is true. And I dislike that part of myself because I know it's not a good part. I know it's not a good side of me to have. And I know it's a thing that is generally, like if someone else has it, it annoys the balls out of me. But somehow within me, sometimes it gets like pushed out. And basically what they think it is that all of these things were instilled to me, like all of these four things were instilled to me by accident as a child, which then manifested into adulthood. Basically meaning that it's like a defense mechanism. So for example, basically what my brain does is it thinks no one can hurt me if I just tell myself that I am super cool, if that makes sense. So my brain just keeps telling, like, whenever something bad happens, it just, like, goes into this mode where it tells myself, like, hey, but you're super cool. Like, don't forget that. You're probably better at whatever the heck you're currently doing than other people, right? And it's not, like, a good look. Not a lot of people see this. Like, people that know me personally see this more because sometimes it can just basically, like, snap out of there. Like, it's just, like, it's hard to explain. But also not, because I believe if my notes do not lie to me. Yes, I'm now currently going to be telling you about something that I've also been diagnosed with. Oh my God, that's loud if I put that on the table. You hear that? Also, I want to do an applause real quick. Oh, that's a laugh track. Yes. God, I love this thing. It's so fun. So basically, I was diagnosed with, and this is like a hugely long diagnosis. She referred to it as something along the lines of non-specifiable behavioral pattern issue accompanied by non-dissociative personality switches. I know, it's like a huge sentence. I can say it pretty quickly in Dutch though, but in English it's like, I'm still like translating as I go. But basically, what this entails is that there is basically three different Quintins within me. It's not like DID, like dissociative identity disorder, where on a neurological level I am split into multiple people. It's all me. Every single one of them is me. I don't lose like memories over that. It's just every single one of them is me, but they are quite different from each other. And the best way to describe it is you personally are probably different right now than you would be with your friends, than you would be at work or school, than you would be at at a stranger's house. You're always a little bit different in certain spaces, and you casually or carefully, like, you flow over in that. Like, you go somewhere and you just transform into that. For me, though, it's basically like put into three distinct sections that I can suddenly snap over into the new one. So basically, all of a sudden, I can go from one of them to the next one to the next one. So I already actually hypothesized this before I actually went in, and I told her about this, and that was a thing that we dug into a little bit more, and that was basically when this diagnosis came out. It basically means, like, it's just my brain kind of learned behavior wrong in that sense, and then also, you know, it adds in with the autism a little bit and all that. So allow me, and it's a little bit, I'm not gonna lie, I find it a little bit scary even to talk about this, which is weird, because, like, who cares? I'm just a little bit like, okay, you know, it's a pretty personal thing. I'm gonna tell you about the three sides of me. and you can try and see if, you know, let's make it a fun game. If you've ever spotted these parts of me, fun. So basically, I am a visual thinker. So in my mind, anything or any like abstract concept, I think of in a way where it's it's visualized. So the way I see my three sides is they're sitting at a table, just like the one I'm currently sitting at. You can't see it maybe if you're listening to the audio version, but it's like a rectangular table. But in my mind, it's gray, whereas this one is like an eggshell white kind of thing. Anyway, it's like a gray table. It's rectangular. It's pretty large. And two of me are basically sitting at the heads of the table, like the edges of the table. And one of them is sitting at like the long side of the table. And the place where you enter the room, like the side from where you entered the room, there's no one there. So no one is facing you by your back. So the moment you walk in, it's like a dimly lit room. It's not like a room, it's more like another dimension. And there's three of me. They all look like me, but slightly different. On your left, the moment you walk in, the one on the far left, is basically me, but wearing a burgundy red button-up shirt with white buttons. Because, as you might know, I am the absolute worst at giving things names. So I have all named them, but all of the names are horrible. I refer to this one as the one in the button-up, also shortened to buttons, or if you want to be very easy, number one, because it's the one on the left and it's like the number one. This side, number one, is my analytical side. It's the one that has no emotions at all, except for bother. That side of me is really like the only thing I can feel when I'm like that is being annoyed and being bothered by other things. This is a side that feels like it's the most important side because it keeps us from looking bad to the public. Like, it's the one that carefully thinks about everything that I say and everything that I do and every action that I do before it gets put out. For example, this is a side that will most likely be the one, the side that I am when, for example, I'm doing an interview. It's also the side that is currently coming out most, because I'm explaining something in a very rational way, because it's basically like my smart side. It's just all of my smarts. It's all of my everything regarding thought. And I am like that during an interview because I'm carefully considering every word that I choose so that people will write about me in a certain way. Like, I know exactly what kind of words and what kind of emotions and what kind of everything evokes something in you. Only downside is that side of me has no emotions at all apart from being annoyed. Like, imagine just being a bad teacher. Like, the moment you explain to something to someone and they don't understand, my initial response is, like, why do you not get this? I explained it just now. How do you not get this immediately? Which is a stupid way of thinking because, you know, obviously that's not how things work. And rationally, I know that, but it's like the only emotional side that that particular part of me has. I feel like this makes no sense. But at the same time, it really does. It is very solid at like faking emotions though. Like, if I'm like that and someone like tells me something, I can very well be like reactive the way I would normally be, but I have to think about it more. It's almost like the Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory of size, if that makes sense. Then in the middle, there is me wearing a yellow hoodie. Like if you watch my content visually, you know that every now and again I wear a yellow hoodie. It's that side of me. I refer to this one as, and oh my God, I'm so good at names. Applause for me on the names. The one in the yellow hoodie, also shortened to yellow, or fully shortened or numeric, like in a numeric way, to number two. Number two, or yellow, is basically my side that you see most often. It's my all of my emotions, both my happiness, my sadness, even though I don't really express sadness that much because, you know, why would I want to try and make you sad? But it's also like my excitement is like when I go out to make a video and I'm like, oh my God, you guys, look at this. We're doing this and this and this. That is that side of me. It is not necessarily rational. It is very impulsive. It is all of the stuff that I like doing. It is like the me laughing super loudly at my own jokes. It is genuinely, that is the side that makes people like me. It is the side that is social. It is the side that people enjoy being around generally. It is the side that I put in my videos because I know it's the funnest one. It's the fun one. That is number two. The fun thing about number two is that number two can run out. I'm an ambiverted person, meaning that when I get around other people or have to express energy, at first I gain a lot of energy. Like I am right now, I have like a lot of energy, but after a few hours, I'm gonna crash, I'm gonna fall asleep, which is why I usually fall asleep in like cars on our way back, because I've expressed a lot of energy and then I'm just kind of run out. And that also means that because number two is the one that has my emotions, that my emotions can technically run out. And I have to push it if I really need it again. Like if I, for example, I've been shooting a video for like 10 hours-ish and I need to do like one more thing, I really have to push myself being like, okay. All right, I got it. Like it's like almost as if it's like limited, if that makes sense. Now, that brings us to the third one, which is in my mind visualized as me completely dressed in black. But the main difference is that side of me wears a white mask across his entire face that is tied, like locked with a padlock on the back of his head, to which he himself, or I himself, it sounds weird to do that in third person, to which that side holds the key itself. Like the key is in its pocket. That side I refer to as the one in the mask, shortened to mask, or numeric to number three. Number three is basically everything that I don't want people to see. It is every part of me that I know is unpleasant. It is every part of me that I am scared to express. And it is every part of me that makes it feel like people are gonna be leaving me. Oh my God, I just had a realization about myself. Remember how I said in the beginning that I'm scared, like I'm not scared of people leaving me? I think I just had this rational realization just now that I absolutely am scared of people leaving me, but it's in like very different reasons. Because I'm also scared of you leaving me, like as in like a viewer, because I do feel like a connection in that sense. Oh my God. Okay, well, that is a thing that I'm gonna discuss 2 days from now with my therapist. Anyway, number three is my anger. I have anger. People think that I cannot get angry, and that is because I don't want to express my anger because I feel like that would make people sad. I feel like showing you my anger and my dark sides would make you sad, and that's not something I want to do. So it's my anger, but it's also my sexual stuff. Like people seem to think that I don't like anything sexually. I'm 23 and I'm heterosexual, so I do, you know? It's just that it has no place in most of my content. So I suppress it. I'm into a lot of things that can be considered peculiar, and that's why I put that away. It has a lot of things like, it has my ego, like the thing that I mentioned, like the number one schema thing. It's all in that side of me. The good side is it doesn't always come forward, and especially not with like a lot of other people. The downside is it has the ability to take off its own mask, and that's why I visualize it like that, but it is impacted by the things around me. Certain types of music actually evoke this in me. I have a special Spotify list, but it's privated because I feel like it's not really anyone's business. Full of music is, I think, currently like 12 tracks that do that to me instantly. But also, for example, if someone were to get angry with me, that happens. I can get very defensive and like, it's not like aggressive. I would never attack anyone, right? but I'd be like, oh yeah, really? Oh, please do tell me more. You know, it's like a very from above, like, oh, like, what do you call that? Like high horsey kind of side of me. And I know that that's not a good look. And basically number one, like that side of me, like the rational side of me feels like we should keep that hidden at all freaking time. And number two enjoys being or enjoys releasing number three. Because the thing is, and this sounds very weird, being number three, being the one in the mask is very pleasant. Because you got to imagine anything that you've ever felt, insecure about. Number three doesn't have insecurities. The moment I am in that state, I have no fears. I have no flaws to my own, like, opinion. It is actually free. Like, imagine anything that you feel bad about yourself and just imagine not having that for, like, half an hour. Just none at all. It is thrilling. I am learning to control all of that because it's actually quite useful. Like, for example, you know, I don't know if you're scared of, like, calling someone on the phone. I don't have that too much, but, like, imagine if I did. If I listen to, like, one of these tracks on that playlist that I refer to and I basically shift myself a little bit more over to number three, that fear is gone. It's completely gone. I'm like, okay, you know what? Hello. Yes. Hey, it's me. I would like to do this immediately. Yep. So cool. No fear, no nothing, which is a good side of it. But it's like a weird fragmentation kind of thing. So yeah, that is basically all that is currently happening. I'm a little bit scared that I told you about this, but I do think you're going to be understanding it. The reason I'm telling you all of this is because if you have anything that you struggle with, I feel like you should sign up for therapy if you can. Like, it's not scary, like, it's a little bit scary, but it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's going to help you so much in the long run. Please do it if you can. Please do it. If you think it'll benefit you, I 100% try to entice you to absolutely do that. So, hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Do leave a comment on either the YouTube video, or if you're listening to this, tweet me at Quentin Hyde or join the Discord and just add me over there to let me know what you think. Thank you so much for being here, and I'd love to see you next time.